We're going to be continuing the sort of second half of what we started 2 weeks ago. And young people, I'm really thrilled. You're going to be in for the first 10 minutes or so, if that's all right. And then I'm going to suggest you make your way out. And Emma, as part of our leadership team, and Hayley are going to go out with you and help you to contextualize a little bit how you get to play your part of the team of Life Church in what we're talking about. But I'm pleased you just get to hear the first part, really. What we talked about 2 weeks ago and was really our vision, and we tried to put a bit of flesh on that by looking back a bit and going, this is some of the stuff we've been doing to try and outwork our vision. And this morning, we're going to try and look forward a little bit. I said last time that we spent some time 12 months ago thinking about why we exist, what we do, and how we do it. And in essence, tried to summarize that in what we call a mission statement, why, a vision statement, what, and a values, how. So the why, in terms of our overall mission statement, very general, but it's to love God, to make disciples and to serve communities across the road and across the globe. To love God, to make disciples and to serve our communities across the road and across the globe. And then the what, because obviously that's very general, we try to go, but over this next season, these next years, what particularly is the vision that we believe that God's giving us to try and embrace by faith and step into? And this is what we identified. Our vision is to see at least 1,000 devoted Christ followers transforming lives and communities in Manchester and beyond by 2025. And 2 weeks ago, we spent some time thinking that through a little bit and pointing to what some of the stuff we've been doing to try and step into that. And I'm going to talk more about that this morning. But just to give a pointer to what's coming in the coming weeks. From next Sunday, we're going to be introducing and speaking into each one of our values, the how, what is really, really important to us in how we outwork this vision. What are the key principles that serve as a template and inspiration for our actions? And our core values, and you know, I'm literally going to say them because we're going to talk about them in the weeks to come. But just so you're aware of how this all fits into context, our core values are that we are utterly committed. What really matters to us is that we're spirit-filled, Bible-based, people-loving, Christ-following, and outward-looking. All right, spirit-filled, Bible-based, people-loving, Christ-following, and outward-looking. No particular order, but absolutely central to us that this is whatever we do, we want these to be at the heart of who we are. This is important to us. These are our core values. But as I say, I'm going to focus back on the vision statement. Our vision is to see at least 1,000 devoted Christ followers transforming lives and communities in Manchester and beyond by 2025. And we'll do it similarly to 2 weeks ago in terms of three parts, starting with to see at least 1,000 devoted Christ followers, 1,000 devoted Christ followers. And I guess as I was preparing for this, what I felt I need to underline more than anything else, if you don't hear anything else about our vision, if you don't hear, can't remember any of the other details, can I just say this? I hope you can remember this. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And if Jesus is not at the center, we've missed it and lost it right from the start. This is not trying to have 1,000 devoted church attenders. This is not trying to have 1,000 devoted church growth experts. This is about having 1,000 devoted Christ followers. I can absolutely assure you, if you think that my leadership is the answer, you are only going to be disappointed. That's the truth. I am not the answer. If you think this church is the answer, you're only going to be disappointed. Jesus is the answer. If you think your husband or your wife is the answer, you are only going to be disappointed. Sorry. Jesus is the answer. And actually, it's worth saying, if you think finding the right husband or wife is the answer, you are only going to be disappointed. Jesus is the answer. And as you get to know him and you seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, this other stuff gets added. But if other stuff comes in his place, everything falls apart. And so right at the heart of what we're about is being utterly devoted Christ followers. Those that are utterly centered on him, caught up with him. And as we talk about vision and how we can play our part in our vision, I guess as I was preparing this, I felt just a little provocation from the Holy Spirit, I think, to make sure that we don't just get into stuff and doing stuff, but we get into Jesus. To make sure that I don't just get caught up with trying to manage some process, but I get caught up with Jesus. And that I don't find that I've lost my first love and somehow just got caught up in all sorts of trying to achieve this and trying to achieve that. But first and foremost, I see Jesus. I worship Jesus. I listen to Jesus. I'm led by Jesus. He's the one that's at the center. He's the one that we're about. I said 2 weeks ago that Anne Flatman, who was away in Devon at the time, had found this little phrase which she sent to me, and I loved it. This is what it said. A disciple is someone who has moved from being the recipient of the church's mission to being responsible for the church's mission. And I guess when we talk about 1,000 devoted Christ followers, what we're not talking about is attenders or even converts. Jesus didn't call us to make church attenders. Jesus didn't call us to make converts. He called us to make disciples. And that's what we're trying to give ourselves to. And that's exactly the journey that Jesus took his disciples on. It was never just about, oh, I'll help you to feel better and make your life a bit better. It was, do you know what? I'm inviting you into my mission to play your part. What an amazing privilege. I'm going to ask Steve McKellar if he would like to come and join me up on the stage, and I'm going to grab a microphone for him if that's right, Matt. Thank you. So why don't you give Steve a big welcome.
Good morning.
And do you know what? I find myself inspired by so many of you as a church family, and it's a privilege. I spend time with different ones at certain points, and I just catch your heart for Jesus at certain moments, and it does me good. I have to say, one of those people who does me good is Steve, and I've watched him, and he was very reticent about getting up because he doesn't want to set himself up as, oh, here I am, I'm the example of a devoted Christ follower, look at me. So I had to persuade him by saying, I'll just ask you some simple questions. So I'm going to do that for a moment. Steve, first of all, I guess I just want to ask you who and what you would say has been significant as in your growth as a Christ follower over the last couple of years.
Well, I'm quite flattered that he thinks I've grown at all in the last couple of years. Other people might have seen things, but I just still feel a very fallen sinner. So let's get that on the table from the start. The first thing is, God's been very, very gracious to me in just giving me the opportunity to serve. So when you see an opportunity, just grab it with both hands. If you feel a prompting from the Spirit, and then there's been lots of ways to do that. And just in simple things, just like a conversation, is your conversational intentional to give God the glory? Or is it just talk about the football, whatever it might be? You can talk about the football, but there can be opportunities to serve as well. And also I've been very blessed with in God's word. Everybody goes through seasons of drought and the desert, and at the moment the word is alive, and that's God, isn't it? It's not me, not cleverness. You just sometimes you open the word and it doesn't mean anything to you. It's just words on a page, and other times it lives, and that's great. But just keep reading is that thing. Obviously the biggest change for me, and this is the one that's is very raw is Melanie's diagnosed with cancer just over under two and a half years ago. And that brings you face to face with that question of why does God allow suffering? Why is there suffering? So it's not the first time I've thought about that, but it did make me really look into those great writers of, you know, Philip Yancey, C.S. Lewis, Ravi Zacharias, all those people, and read what they've got to say, and also search God yourself and realize that the world is a place of suffering and that God is still sovereign.
Yes.
God is still Lord, and God gives grace for today. Give us today our daily bread.
Yeah.
And that's been the amazing thing that I can testify to, despite the difficulties we're going through. God gives daily bread for us.
Very good.
And
very good.
Brilliant. Just one little thing I wanted to say was that I'm really grateful for the guys in the church that have just asked me to meet them for breakfast and chat. And if you are guys out there and you find it hard to make time in the day, go and have some breakfast with somebody. It's a limited time, maybe it's only 3/4 of an hour, maybe it's an hour. And those guys have done me so much good, and you know who you are, so thank you very much.
Very good. Yeah, no, that's great, Steve. So, and then just in what ways would you say you've tried to play a part? I mean, maybe you can't list them all because I know you've engaged in lots of things, but in seeing lives and communities transformed?
Well, things I've had a go at, unfortunately I've had to pull back from Friday Night Youth, and there's a gap there, and that's been fantastic. Those guys are utterly awesome. So if you want to do good for yourself, just volunteer on a Friday night. They've been a wonderful team. So much energy in youth, so get some of that. I've just loved being as a duty manager downstairs, and you get people come want to chat to you about things, and I've had some fantastic conversations with people who just want to share. Real joy has been serving with Andy and Emma on the Alpha course and just seeing people seeking after God and working through. And again, so if you have the opportunity to get involved in an Alpha course, that's great. And with the Life Group. Life Group is the heartbeat of the church, and the group we have at the moment is awesome.
You know, wow.
Very blessed there. Again, it's all God doing work through people and seeing lives change. That
very good. And I know you could list a number of other things because Steve has absolutely offered himself in all sorts of ways. But just finally, I mean, out of all the things you've engaged in and things you've seen happening over the last year or so, what's been your biggest encouragement in this?
Andy's curtailed me just to do a few because I've got a long list. Answers to Prayer is great. If you want to talk to me about some Answers to Prayer that I've had, it's been great. Two things I will mention. The one is, he's not here today, so I don't have to embarrass him. Arjan is a lovely Albanian guy. His wife and two kids come here. And I've had the privilege of seeing him through the Alpha course and seeing he wasn't quite there yet. So offering to say, well, do you want to look at the Bible together? So every Wednesday night, Arjan and I meet up. And just before Christmas, he committed his life to Jesus.
Fantastic.
Great,
yeah.
Fantastic. And it's really, what is utterly awesome is when you see someone new praying to their Lord. And it's not to me. Sometimes we pray to impress people, don't we? But when you see him talking to God and just thanking God for his salvation, that's an awesome thing to see. The other thing was just a very simple, I won't mention names because they are here today, but just having a chance conversation outside Tesco's with somebody who was struggling a bit with the fear of death, and that's where I was at the time, with struggling with cancer, struggling with the fear of death, and then me just chatting as I do, and then weeks later finding out that that was a turning point for them. See how God can just use, you know, your feeble words to encourage someone else and set them on a different trajectory, and that's just awesome to see God at work.
Fantastic. Steve, thank you so much. Really, really appreciate it. And Steve is just an example. But I guess as we think about what's our vision, most of all, it's about being those devoted Christ followers who are giving themselves into the mission of Jesus and saying, Jesus, I recognize I'm your hands, I'm your feet. How can I serve you? And I've loved watching Steve just looking for opportunities and being ready to offer himself for that. And young people, older people, whoever you are, I want to say, do you know what? It's not about how much you've got to give. It's about whether you're prepared to give it. It's not about how much you've got to give. It's about whether you're prepared to give it. If we're going to see something incredible happen, something miraculous, hundreds and hundreds of people's lives transformed and changed, how will that happen? It won't be through you going, oh, I've got all this great stuff to bring to God. I'm his answer. No, just be thinking, I haven't got much, but what I have, I will give it. Just like the widow's offering. Jesus saw that, didn't he? He looked and he said, you know what? She's given more than anyone else. Because they gave out of their wealth, but she gave everything. Everything she had to live on. When you give everything, something miraculous becomes possible. And I think Steve, you know, and he would go, oh no, I'm still very much on this journey. But in certain ways, he's trying to say, look, where's there's opportunities to serve? I'm going to take it. I want to offer myself whatever I can. I want to be that little boy with his five loaves and two fish who says, Jesus, I see that you are worth giving everything to. You have what I've got. Now do something that I can't do with it. And he did something extraordinary. And basically, if you look at what Jesus did with the disciples, he took very ordinary people and did something extraordinary. And I believe that that's the heart of God, to take our ordinary lives and do something extraordinary with him. We don't want to lower our sights to somehow settling for less, somehow, oh, we'll just somehow just create a nice church family, a nice church service to attend. We want to say, no, Jesus, you take the ordinary and you do something extraordinary. And each of us here are pretty ordinary, but you know what? That means we're well qualified for the extraordinary when it's about him and it's for him and it's given to him. So I'm going to ask the young people if they'd like to make their way out, and they're going to try and think about what that might look like in their context and how they work that through. And we're going to think about that a little bit more for the rest of us in our context. So, guys, thank you for the part that you've got to play in our team as a church family. And trust that this morning that will come alive more. And we'll look forward to you reconnecting with us later on in the service as we engage with Jesus and worship him and allow him to fill us with his spirit. Okay. So, bearing in mind, really, if we're going to remember anything, it's all about Jesus. Let me mention a few other things. As we think about seeing 1,000 devoted Christ followers, here's some of the things we're thinking about, because we realize that our focus at this point is not really about the numbers. It's about when we raise up devoted Christ followers, when we really give all that we have, that's when something extraordinary becomes possible. And if we just think about trying to gather more people, we'll never get there. It's really, our focus is about raising up and working with those that God has given us and seeing them formed into the people that God wants us to be, who are ready to serve his purposes in whatever context and however. And so we are particularly thinking through and focusing on how we can strengthen discipleship and that sense of sharpening one another and calling one another up and growing in him. We're thinking about leadership development. In fact, from September, we're planning along within, sort of as part of something that we're doing with the group of churches that we're working with, of launching a leadership development program and inviting key Christian leaders who I would say have offered everything over the years to come, and we're going to have like a leadership academy where people are invited to gather every 6 months for 2 years and then be mentored and play some part where they're out working leadership. And we're hoping that we're going to be joined by Mike Pilavachi at one point and Simon Gilbert, who has been out in the nations, and a number of other people who we're hoping to invite, come and say, look, you've gone on this journey. We want to learn from you. As someone who we see as being a devoted Christ follower, who's not only offered their lives, but seen other lives significantly sort of impacted and seen movements established, we're wanting to touch and connect into that and learn from you. We're continuing to do our encounter weekends because we believe those are our significant times when you go away and you actually just allow yourself to come face to face with the living God. Say, Lord, you don't want me to live with stuff that holds me back. You see everything about me. You're able to heal me, to set me free, to deal with stuff that's holding me back. Those times are really significant, and we want to help people be free to be those devoted followers of Christ that we believe he wants us to be. We're starting marriage weekends. The one we've got happening in February is fully booked, but there will be another one coming later in the year. Again, why? Because healthy marriages are really, really important. Because if your marriage is not healthy, it just keeps stumbling you. So it doesn't help you in your own personal walk with God. Secondly, it doesn't help in terms of your testimony. The healthy marriages, and we can see marriage is under attack, but God loves marriage, and we want to do whatever we can to strengthen marriage and not just sort of respond to crisis, but just say, we want to give ourselves to having the most healthy marriages we possibly can have. Emma and I went on a marriage weekend in November or October. It just did us so much good. We really, really appreciated it. It helped us in terms of our walk with one another and our walk with Jesus. Obviously, a lot of what the Life Kids and Life Youth are doing, they're reaching out with different things, but right at the heart of what they're about is seeing our kids and our young people growing as devoted followers of Christ. And they've got various things in place to do that. We've just launched or gathered a new prayer team. I don't know whether you, if you were here 2 weeks ago, Paul Riley shared a, Paul, are you here? Yeah, you are. Yeah, Paul shared a word about expansion, about trees growing up and the tops being cut off and planted in different parts, and it causing there to be expansion, and that God was speaking about expansion and growth and a replanting for some. And there was something in me that goes, yes, amen. And I just wanted to sort of push Paul a bit to go, well, I happened to hear from Nick that Paul had also felt there was a little bit more to that. And so when I asked him to write it down, the other element was that he basically, how was this growth happening? He saw it being fueled by prayer and that watered by prayer. And I guess we're very, very clear. The journey that God wants to take us on, we have not stepped into something we can just manage into being humanly. We believe God's given us a vision that takes us out beyond ourselves, that requires us to walk on water, to live not in the natural, but in the supernatural. And therefore, we absolutely need to water everything and fuel everything with prayer. And this team is beginning to think about how we can strengthen the prayer life of the church as a whole. When they met on Monday, one of the first conclusions they came to thought is, well, maybe it'd be a good idea if we gave ourselves to prayer. And I loved coming back, having been away for a couple of days, finding out that they were meeting and had 4 hours just to pray on Friday afternoon. They couldn't all be at all of it, but they were there praying. And I happened to walk into a little bit of it and go, oh, this is fantastic. Something being fueled. There's a whole lot more of a journey to go on with that. And Steve alluded to life groups. And I guess as we think about not only becoming devoted Christ followers, but also transforming lives and communities, we would say that a key vehicle, one of our main vehicles for outworking our vision is our life groups. And we will unashamedly say that. And if you really want to be at the heart of what we're about as a church, being rooted and well-connected and playing your part in a life group is utterly key. You'll never manage to outwork it just by sitting here on a Sunday morning. But connecting with people at a deeper level, a smaller group of people. Really what we're talking about is being in community for community. So sharing life together and then sharing the life of Jesus with others. Identifying how we as a group can play our part in transforming lives and communities. And if you're a life group, I'd love you to take some time at some point to ask these two questions. How are you going to help one another grow as devoted Christ followers? And secondly, how can you play your part in transforming lives and communities? How are you going to help one another grow as devoted Christ followers? Sorry, I haven't put them up. Secondly, how can you play your part in transforming lives and communities? And I'll make sure those are sent to the life group leaders. Because if you look at Jesus, he always thought expansively. He always thought beyond what was, and he saw the crowds, and he saw them, and he loved them. And so he was always thinking, how can we reach more and more people? And our emphasis as a church, unashamedly, is not on gathering, but it is on transforming. We believe that aligns ourselves to who Jesus is and to what he's called us to be about. Not just people and communities in Sale, but right across Manchester. We are the body of Christ, and we're called to do the work of Christ where he has placed us. You're working in different places. You're living in different places. You're called to shine like stars in those places. You're called to be Jesus' voice, to be the hands, the feet of Jesus. We are the body of Christ. And after Easter, we're going to be teaching on a series called The Transforming Power of Christ, looking at the Gospels and how wherever Jesus went, transformation came about. And we're trying to align ourselves with his transforming power and think about how we can do that. And life groups, please, please don't just think we're a nice group here to support one another. You're a group with a responsibility for a community, an area, for a group of people. How can you outword that? How can you engage with him? There's lots of stuff that I could say we're going to be doing. I trust you had, hope you had an ear to hear what Sarah and the video said about Holiday Club. It's one of the best things we do, I think. It's not only brilliant for the kids, the 120 kids that I imagine will get registered and probably others sadly will get turned away, who get the opportunity over 3 days to hear all about Jesus. But every one of those children are part of a family and their parents or someone brings them. It's an opportunity for us not just to connect with the kids, but to connect with the families and to play our part in expressing the love of Jesus to them. One of the most, if you'd asked Emma and I what was the most exciting thing we've been involved in over the last year, it would definitely be Alpha. Because you get to watch people go on a journey. We are always looking for people who go, do you know what, I'd host an Alpha in my home. I'll offer to do that. Or a life group that would say, do you know what, we'll release a couple of couples or 4 people or whatever to say, we'll host this, we'll do this because we want to help others. And maybe we'll think about those in the community that we're reaching out to that we could invite. And there's always others that we can sew in to say, do you know what, these guys would love to come be part of it as well. There's all sorts of ways you can play a part that I can't list now. But God's looking for people who are available and saying, I'm stepping forward. I'll play my part in transforming lives and communities. And I guess for us as a church, our vision has never just been for Manchester. It is for Manchester. But if you're aligned to Jesus, you will always think beyond as well. He said, you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem. But it didn't stop there. And Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We are very clear God wants us to think expansively. I'm just going to ask Al just to come and just share briefly in terms of some of the conversations we had as a team last week.
Good morning. I'm just going to talk a little bit about what we would describe as the apostolic call on Life Church, what we're called to be beyond. I was reading in Philippians this morning, and St. Paul writing to that church there that he established, and he gave thanks, he said, for the partnership that he had with the church in Philippi. And this apostolic call, that's really what that is. It's a partnership that we have to churches that are beyond ourselves, to support them and equip them and resource them. And this has been part of us for many years. This isn't about Andy. Even before Andy came, we had relationships through Martin with the church in Carnarvon and also the church in Bury. Many of you will know Nick and Sue spent a number of years overseeing the church in Bangor in North Wales. And this is worked out by us being part of the Salt and Light network of churches. Some of you will know lots about that. Others of you may not know quite so much. But we're in what's called a sphere of churches. I'm not quite sure what that word really means, but it's a collection of churches, a subset, if you like, of Salt and Light, based in the northwest of England and North Wales. And currently, that is ourselves, Bangor and Carnarvon in North Wales, Oswestry, Bury, Ormskirk and Blackpool. And we're currently in conversations with three other churches who are thinking about connecting in with us as well. And that's an opportunity to do something in partnership with them and to help them. And Andy, in particular, is released by us as a church to oversee those other churches. He meets with their leaders, he meets with their leadership teams, he goes and preaches there regularly. So you may have noticed that Andy's not here every Sunday. That's not because he has lots of Sundays when he just stays in bed. Half his Sundays, he is out serving in these other settings. And probably over the course of the year, he spends about a third of his time doing that role. We've released him as a leadership team to be doing that. And he is really appreciated by those other churches. They really appreciate having someone from outside, particularly to support the leadership and the leaders of those churches, but also to go and speak into them on a Sunday morning. But it's not just about Andy. This is not a call on Andy specifically. We feel this is a call on us as a church. So others are involved in that as well. Dave Rolls is part of the Sphere team, the Sphere core team, which is setting the plans for what the Sphere might do together. Sue Fox and others were part of the team that planned Maximize last year, and others go on a regular basis. Tom quite often goes and speaks at a number of those churches. I've been invited to go and speak in Bury next week, which I'm really excited about. So there's more connection beginning to go on. But also, we recognise that we haven't been very good at having people from those churches come here. So over the course of the year, Andy has promised that he's going to have a number of people from those churches come here, come and speak on a Sunday, or just come and share about what they're doing and how God's moving them forward. We also do a number of events together. Andy's talked about the marriage encounter weekends. That's their part of what we're doing as a Sphere. We have prophetic days. We have the encounter weekends, the leadership development. But the big thing that we do together is Maximize. And Maximize this year will be held on the 14th to the 16th of June. It's an opportunity for all the churches to come together, and I'd really encourage you to think about going. We've got a couple of great speakers this year. We've got John Kirkby, who was the guy who started Christians Against Poverty, and he'll be fantastic. And we've also got Sam Ward from the Message Trust, and the theme for our weekend is maximizing our impact, bringing hope to the hopeless. Maximize last summer was an excellent weekend, and I'd really encourage you to go, because what we do as a Sphere, it isn't just an add-on, it isn't just Andy's thing, it is part of who we are, it's part of who we're called to be as a church. And so that weekend and the other things that we do with a Sphere are very much part of us. So I'd really encourage you to get on board with that. Booking is open now. If you book before the 3rd of March, you get things slightly cheaper. But really be thinking about how you can connect in. And while you're there, you'll meet some people from other churches, and that can be start of a journey perhaps for you to connect in with them more. So that's just a little bit about our call beyond Manchester. Dave's going to talk a little bit about our call even further.
Hi, good morning to you. Another part of our call is definitely a call to the nations. So all the time that Jane and I have been here, 30-odd years, and before that, we've had folk from here serving overseas. And so that will continue to be a key part of our mission going forward as we send more people, support them, finance them, pray for them, visit them, and so on. For about 15 years, we've had an international missions team, and I'm forming a new one, and that will have two particular focuses. One is continuing to support our overseas workers, and we'll still have specific couples who look out for specific workers, so Nigel and Carol, for example, connecting to Bob and Carol in India. But secondly and importantly, we want to involve all of us more and in all sorts of ways in cross-cultural mission, both on our doorsteps and way into the other nations. And we're beginning to think of how we might do that better, do more of it. We're doing some, we need to do more. So if you've got any suggestions, any thoughts, questions, please talk to the beginning of the new team. So those that are here, there's not many here this morning, could you stand? Is there anyone? Jane? Gosh, the others are Phil Watterson, who's, I imagine, was one of the kids' groups. We've got two doctors who may be working today, Dr. Yetundi and Dr. Gordon, Gordon and Sophie. And then we've got Luke and Margaret Watson, new-ish young couple, huge heart for mission, who are away today as well. And maybe others will join that in due course. Thanks.
It's probably worth saying as well that the young people this year are going on a trip, or at least some of them are going to go out to Albania in partnership with YWAM on a mission trip there. And I think that will be a great experience for them. And I trust we'll just expand their hearts for the nations and stretch them and cause them to be sort of right, learning to walk on water and put their trust in Jesus. Right, I want to bring this to land. So that's good, is it, Miriam? Yes. Sorry? Good trip. It will be a good trip. Absolutely. Some of you may remember about 18 months ago, we did a series on the book of Nehemiah. And I got the privilege of speaking on Nehemiah chapter 3. If you read Nehemiah chapter 3, you may go, oh, I don't know how much of a privilege that is. Because basically, Nehemiah 3 is just a whole lot of names, fairly complicated names as well, and what they did. And when I preached on it, I felt the Holy Spirit underline to me, don't just sort of summarize it, read the whole chapter. Now, that was a bit of a test because most of these names are quite tongue twisters, etc. But there was a reason for that. And the reason why I felt the Holy Spirit underline that is because you know what? Everyone's there for a reason. Each person is just an individual, but each individual was playing their part in this amazing project of building, repairing this wall that incredibly got completed in 52 days. It was an extraordinary thing, yet it was an amazing picture, remarkable display of unity, an amazing picture of people pulling together with one goal in mind. And you know what? It shows what's possible when everyone plays their part. And one of the things I did when I read it, I asked people to imagine not just this name of the place on the wall, but to find something where the wall was written as we read the chapter, and think of a community that was especially close to their heart, and to imagine how they would react when they heard that a group of people were going to say, we're going to try and bring the kingdom of God to this community. And so, you know, it became a bit of a pantomime because everyone's going, yes, when their place came. And if you were here, you might vaguely remember that. And then there was just one place in the chapter where it says, but the nobles of Tekoa didn't do anything. And I hadn't suggested this, but somehow in this whole pantomime feel, it all went, hiss, roar, terrible. And the reason was because you were getting this picture. So-and-so did this, so-and-so did this, so-and-so did this. We are the body of Christ. We are invited by Jesus, not just to know him, but to play our part in his mission. And every single one of us has a part to play, both general and specific. If I was going to say, what are some of the general things? This is what I'd say, just basically to anyone and everyone. Here's some basic principles. Live. I.e. think about how you live because you're an ambassador for Christ and your testimony affects my testimony and my testimony affects your testimony. Pray because this is a God thing, not a man thing. Give. We're all called to sow in and to give out of what God has given to us. If you want to properly play your part in the body of Christ, you give with your finances into what God's called us to do. Connect. That means please, please don't just walk in here, sit in a seat and walk out without getting to know people. Work out how you can connect with people. We try to create ways that can happen on a Sunday, but it's very limited. Life group is the best way you can possibly connect. So if you're not part of a life group yet, get part of one. We can make that happen for you. Serve. Everyone has a part to play. Everyone has something to give. You may just have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Those 5 loaves and 2 fish, you offer them to him, they can do something extraordinary. And I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. And we said, more than anything else, if you don't remember anything else, please remember, what's our vision about? It's all about Jesus. He said, come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And then it says, immediately they left their nets, and they followed him. They became devoted Christ followers. They laid everything else aside. They said, there's something in you that's worth everything, and I'll give you everything. I'll follow you with all of my heart. And as they followed him, he did something where he formed them into those who weren't just following, but they were fishing. They became engaged in the mission of Jesus. And this morning, we want to commission people. The whole church, actually, every one of you, to play your part, to follow Jesus, to listen to Jesus, to live for Jesus, to give to Jesus, to love like Jesus, to be the hands of Jesus, the feet of Jesus, the voice of Jesus to this world that desperately needs Jesus. And as we begin to worship again, I wonder if we could, if you're able, we could stand together. And there's a prayer that's going to come up on the screen. And I wonder if maybe at the beginning of our worship, and in a bit I'm going to come back and give an opportunity for people to be prayed for specifically, but I wonder if we could just take an opportunity to offer ourselves to Jesus this morning. So let's pray this together. Loving God, I am no longer my own, but yours. Your will, not mine, be done in all things. Wherever you may place me, in all that I do, and in all that I may endure, when there is work for me and when there is none, when I am troubled and when I am at peace, your will be done. When I am valued and when I am disregarded, when I find fulfillment and when it is lacking, when I have all things and when I have nothing, I willingly offer all I have and am to serve you as and where you choose. Glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. May it be so forever. Let this covenant, now made on earth, be fulfilled in heaven. Amen.